بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 18th session, reading from the commentaries on Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah by Al-Imam Abu Jafar Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Salama Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah. And tonight, we're going to continue with the topic that we began last week concerning the ru'yah, yani the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the believers, the Yawm al-Qiyamah. Before we do that, we're going to take a quick look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 17. First question being mentioned, the first part. Now, mention the first part of the 35th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. 35th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi that we began with last week in Sheikh Salih Fawzan's commentary. It's numbered as 58. Point number 58, or in English, 57. The first part of the 35th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. Naam. Not even one person raising a hand? Allahu musta'an. Naam, faddo. Bing. Naam, faddo. Yani in the English translation, it's 57. It's numbered 57. It is true that people of paradise will see Allah, huh? Without encompassing him and in a manner that is unknown to us. Without looking at your books, can anybody give that statement to us in Arabic? No, it's okay. Alhamdulillah, this is a follow-up question. Without looking. Taib, looking. And so the next person without looking, after you hear him read it. Fadl.
Ru'yatu ahli al-jannah.
Wa ru'yatu haqqun. Taib. Read it.
Wa ru'yatu haqqun li ahli al-jannah. Fil jannah. Min ghayri.
Fil jannah? In your book it has that? Fil jannah? But none of the copies that I read had fil jannah. Li ahli al-jannah. Taib. Fadl. لأهل الجنة نعم في الجنة
من غير إحاطة ولا كيفية كما نطق به كتاب ربنا جل وعلا.
Is all that numbered as 58 or it's numbered as 35th statement? Are you reading from which book? What are you reading from so we can know the numbers?
I don't know.
Let me see your cover.
It's a tahqiq of Sheikh Hisham.
Oh. Allahu musta'an. Sheikh Muhammad Hisham al-Tahiri. Where'd you get this from? MashaAllah. No, MashaAllah. Sheikh Hisham is mutamakkin. That shak. I didn't know he had a commentary. MashaAllah. Okay, no problem. Let's not get sidetracked with that. The wording might be slightly different in some of the copies of the book because these books are originally handwritten manuscripts, right? So sometimes, yani, when people are copying these books, yani, there are some additions or subtractions and things like that. In any case, in the book that we're reading from, وَالرُّؤْيَةُ حَقٌّ, yani the ru'ya, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Yawm al-Qiyamah is حَقٌّ لِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, for the people of paradise, بِغَيْرِ إِحَاطَةٍ وَلَا كَيْفِيَةٍ, yani without ihata and without kayfiyah. So that's the statement that we talked about last week that the Shaykh is explaining, and he continues to explain what we're going to read tonight. That statement alone. The rest of what Imam At-Tahawi said after that, that Shaykh Salih Fawzan has numbered as 59 and 60 and 61, 62, 63, all of that, yani we didn't get to any of that yet. What we are talking about tonight and what we talked about last week is just this statement. The ru'ya is haqq for the people of Jannah without ihata and without kayfiyah. Second question, how does Shaykh Salih Fawzan explain what is meant by the word ar-ru'ya? How does he explain what is meant by the word ar-ru'ya? Now I'm looking around for a hand. Now you want to raise your hand or you're not sure? Okay, the vision is true. That's the meaning of it. How has the Sheikh Salih Fawzan, explained what is meant by ar-ru'ya? What is it? When we say ar-ru'ya, vision, seeing like what, where, when, what is being seen? Yeah, now, fadl, Ilyas. The vision would be like seeing the sun and the moon. Okay. What, you know, I have to keep saying this. It's not a problem. It's not a problem, but I need to repeat myself a little bit. These questions are very specific. And when I say, how does Sheikh Salih Fawzan explain something, I mean like his words. What did he say himself? Slow down. All right? I just want to be clear. Because, alhamdulillah, sometimes a person gives an answer that is basically correct. And it's not like something far away. But at the same time, what I'm looking for the words of the Shaykh himself. We're studying this book, and we're reading something from a scholar or from various scholars. We want to know, how did they explain it? Not how can it be explained. Yani some people explained it differently. So all of those explanations are possible, maybe, but we want to know exactly here how, what we read last week, how did the Shaykh explain the meaning of ar-ru'ya. Naam. Yasir. Naam, that the people of Iman, the believers, will see their Lord, will see their Rabb in the next life. And one more thing we want to add to that, that he said that they will see their Lord in the next life with their eyesight, with their eyes, the sight of their eyes. Naam. I don't know, somebody mentioned in the back correctly that yani the closest thing that will help us to understand something about that seeing of Allah, he said it will be like you seeing the moon in the middle of the month when the moon is full, or seeing the sun in a clear sky where there are no clouds. Yani the clarity of the vision will be like that. The clarity of the vision will be like that. Question number 3. How has Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan explained, or how does he explain what is meant by the word haqq in the statement ar-ru'yatu haqqun? What did he explain is the meaning of haqqun? I don't want the translation, I want the Sheikh's explanation. What did he say is ar-ru'ya haqqun? Haqqun meaning what? Naam, Muhammad. Naam, that it is established, confirmed, verified. Yani haqqun, meaning it is a fact, it is true, it's a reality that's confirmed and verified in the book, yani in the Quran, and in the sunnah, and by ijma' of the Ahl sunnah wal jama'ah. And by ijma', notice he said, of Ahl sunnah wal jama'ah. Because there are some people of deviation that don't agree. But ijma' of Ahl sunnah wal jama'ah, Salafan wa khalafan. Yani min al-salaf wa min al-khalaf. Yani from the earlier generations and from the later generations. And nobody differed about this except the people of deviation. Now, the Shaykh last week, yani we mentioned the evidence of Ahl Sunnah, the evidences or some of the evidences of Ahl Sunnah from the Quran and from the Sunnah that verify the correctness of the position of Ahl Sunnah concerning the ru'ya of Allah on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And this week, inshallah, we're going to talk about some of the arguments of the people of deviation and the refutation of their arguments. But for now, last week we talked about the evidences, or some of the evidences of Ahl Sunnah, and some of these evidences must be memorized. And if you didn't memorize, okay, you can still read the answer, but these evidences need to be memorized. Memorize the first ayat. That's question number 4. Memorize the first ayat used as evidence of Ar-Ru'ya by Sheikh Al-Fawzan. And what he says is intended by, in it, what is intended in it by nāẓira. Yani what is the first ayat that he mentions and what is intended in it by nāẓira? What is the first ayat? Naam. Yani that the faces on that day will be nāẓira. Yani will be bright, beaming, beautiful. Yani glowing, radiant, from looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ila rabbiha nazira, looking to their Rabb, looking to their Rabb. As far as what is intended by nāzira, the Shaykh's explanation, he said the meaning of a nāzira is what? What did he say is the meaning of a nāzira? Not nāzira, the first word. He explained that word and then he explained nāzira. And that's the word that we're concerned about. Nāzira. Naam.
You mentioned that it has different meanings depending on the harf jar.
Okay, before that. That's true. It has different meanings depending on the harf jar, the preposition that comes with it. But before that, he said, what is intended by nāzira? Naam. Shanawaz.
Looking at Allah.
He said it means, naam, looking at Allah. Or in Arabic he said, Al-Mu'ayyina bil-Absar, which means specifically to be seeing something with your eyes. With your eyes. Okay? And then, yani, after he mentioned that, he gave an example that if we say, Nazartu ila kadha, ay absartuhu. Yani, if we say in Arabic, Nazartu ila kadha, I looked at such and such thing, it means I saw it with my eyesight. I saw it with my eyesight. Question number 5. Summarize, Zakaria, the three meanings of another in the Quran, as explained by Sheikh Salih Fawzan. Now,
the first is to actually look at something.
Uh huh.
The second is to wait to request that they be late.
The second is to wait.
And then the third, to think about.
Naam, tafakkur wa i'tibar. So the first meaning that he mentions, when the word another is used with the preposition ila, it means to look at something, to see it, to look at it. And when it's used without any preposition by itself, in that case it means yani tawakkuf or intidar, to wait, to stop and wait. And if it's used with the preposition fi, then it means tafakkur or i'tibar, yani to reflect on something, to think about it carefully and to give consideration to it. This is how the word is used in the Quran. And so since we are reading from the Quran, we want to know, so what is the meaning here? How did it come? With no preposition, with the preposition ila, with the preposition fi, how did it come so we can know what is intended here? So, yani in this particular ayah it came with the preposition ila, and therefore, yani it means to look at, to see, yani with your eyesight. Question number 6. Memorize the second ayah used as evidence of Ar-Ru'ya by Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan and what is intended by Al-Husna and Al-Ziyadah. What is intended by Al-Husna and Ziyadah? Second ayah. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا. Read it. Somebody.
لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى
وَالْزِيَادَةِ. نعم. The meaning of this is for those, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا means what? People of Ihsan, meaning? The people of Ihsan. What about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Islam wal iman wal ihsan. The people of Ihsan are from two angles. In reference to Allah, they worship Allah as though they see Him. And if they don't see Him, they know that He is watching. And from the second angle, the people of Ihsan are the people who treat well the worshippers of Allah. Ihsan ilal ibad. The people of Ihsan, Allah said for the people of Ihsan, is Al-Husna wa Ziyada. Al-Husna, yani, the Prophet ﷺ explained in a hadith that's reported in Sahih Muslim, that the meaning of Al-Husna is what? The meaning of Al-Husna in this ayat. Yani, for the people of Ihsan, there is Al-Husna and there is Ziyada, Talib. Jannah. That for them is Jannah and also Ziyada. And there's ziyadah, something extra, which is what?
Ziyadah.
To see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To look and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 7. Memorize the third ayat. These are some of the clearest evidences of the Ahl Sunnah concerning the ru'ya of Allah yawm al-qiyamah. Memorize the third ayat from Surah Al-Qaf, 35th ayat, used as evidence of ar-ru'ya by Sheikh Salih Fawzan. What he says is intended in it by the word al-mazid. لهم ما يشاؤون فيها. Help us. ولدينا مزيد. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayat that in it, يعني in Jannah, they will have whatever they desire. ولدينا مزيد. And Allah says, and we have something extra for them which al-mazid in this ayah is the same as ziyada in the previous ayah, meaning looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 8, memorize the fourth ayah used as evidence, yani from Surah Al-Mutaffifin, 83rd Surah, 15th ayah. Fourth ayah uses evidence of ar-ru'ya by Sheikh Salih Fawzan, and how this is an evidence of ar-ru'ya. How is it an evidence of ru'ya? What is this ayah? Kalla innahum. Huh? An rabbihim? Lamahjubun. Meaning of the ayat, somebody. What is the meaning of this ayat? Naam. Okay. Now, on that day, these people, on that day, yani yawm al-qiyamah, meaning the disbelievers, they will be screened from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mahjubun. Yani they will be hijab, blocking them from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how is this ayat a proof of the ru'ya? And how does the Shaykh in brief explain that this is a, how is this a proof? And Allah is saying that the disbelievers, because of their kufra, they will be not allowed to see Allah. That will be a punishment for them, that they will not be allowed to see Allah. They will be screened from seeing Allah. How is that a proof that Allah will be seen? Now,
because the kufra are going to have the hijab before them, blocking them from seeing, the people who believe will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this ayah that the disbelievers, as a punishment for them on Yawm al-Qiyamah, because they disbelieved in Allah, on Yawm al-Qiyamah they will not be allowed to see Him. So then, what will be the case of the believers? It won't be that, right? And they will be not punished, they will be rewarded for believing on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Their reward will be the opposite of the punishment of the disbelievers. They will be allowed to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last question mentioned the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari Muslim uses evidence of ar-ru'ya by Sheikh Salih Fawzan. Now, the last evidence that the Sheikh mentioned is from the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported by Al-Bukhari, in which he said, the meaning of which is, Naam Abdul Wali.
The meaning of the hadith is that they will be able to see Allah, but the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said he looked at the moon on a full night, said, verily you will see your Lord as you see this moon with no trouble, saying the Bukhari and Muslim.
Taib. Yani that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will definitely, certainly see your Rabb, Yawm al-Qiyamah, just as you see the full moon in the middle of the month when the moon is full, and just as you see the sun when it is a clear sky and there are no clouds, and you will not have any difficulty. There will be no need for crowding to be able to see. In the same way that 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 people, if they were looking up in the sky, everybody would be able to see clearly. Yani the clarity of the vision and the absence of any difficulty in seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah for the believers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this as an example. Okay, that's basically what we covered last week. Does anybody remember the hadith that explains the ayat in the Quran where Allah says, yani, that He has a reward for the people of Iman? Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in one of the ayats that the Shaykh used as evidence for the people of Ihsan, there's al-husna and ziyada. What is the hadith? The Shaykh didn't mention the hadith, but we did mention it in passing. If anybody remembers the hadith. There was a hadith that we read. It wasn't from the book, but it's the hadith that the Shaykh referred to, that the Prophet ﷺ explained in that hadith, this ayat, that al-husna and ziyada means the paradise, and the ziyada is seeing the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, it doesn't matter why you remember it. What is it?
Husna is Jannah.
Naam. And the ziyad is seeing the face of Allah. Naam. What's the hadith? And if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the hadith, this came in the hadith. What is the hadith? Naam. Talib. When the people of paradise will enter into the paradise. Naam. Allah will ask them, تُرِيدُونَ شَيْئًا أَزِيدُكُمْ. Do you want something that I will give you extra? And they said, you have gave us everything. You whitened our faces and entered us in the paradise and saved us from the hellfire. And then what will happen? Yakshif al-hijab. The hijab of Allah's face will be removed, and the Prophet ﷺ said, they would not have been given anything. أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. They would not have been given anything in the paradise more beloved to them than to look to see their Rabb عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. نعم. طيب. I wanted to read the comments of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, but I don't know if we're going to have time, so I'm going to hold on and try to cover what we have for tonight to make sure that we complete that. And if we have time, inshallah, we'll come back. Just quickly, I want to mention that Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he numbered this 35th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, and he divided it into 8 parts, and they are numbered as 58 through 65. And in English, yani one less, yani 57 to 64. So this one statement, he has broken it down into 8 parts, and each part he has explained separately. So as we're going through this explanation of the Shaykh, we'll keep in mind that all of this is one statement. This is all one statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, and the Shaykh is explaining it piece by piece. So last week, we began to explain the first part, that the ru'ya is haqq for the people of Jannah without ihafa, without encompassing Allah, and without kayfiyah, without attempting to explain how they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last week we began to explain that, and the Shaykh gave the evidences that we just discussed from the Quran and from the Sunnah. And this week, inshallah, we're going to continue with the discussion of the first part of that statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. We're continuing with that discussion from the first part of the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, where the Shaykh begins to mention some of the arguments of the people of deviation and the refutation of them. So we presented the evidences last week. The Shaykh explained us what are some of the evidences, and this week we want to look at what are their arguments and how do we refute them. And I remind us that the aqidah of the people of deviation is twisted. Yeah. And sometimes it might sound like, do people believe that? Did they actually say that? Yes. Yeah. When people are misguided, they might come up with anything. If the opinions of the people of misguidance are not clear to you and you don't understand them well, don't worry. Just worry about what is the view of the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah. If you understand that, you're straight. Alright, but the Shaykh is mentioning their views and he's refuting them, so we're going to mention them. But otherwise, yani, don't concern yourself too much with it. So, where we left off last week, mentioning the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he mentioned that you would definitely see your Rabb Yawm al-Qiyamah, like you see the moon, full moon, and the sun in a clear sky, without any difficulty. After that hadith, the Shaykh begins to explain in the explanation of Shaykh Salih Fawzan on page 76. لَمْ يُنْكِرْ أَرُؤْيَا إِلَّا أَهْلُ الْبِدَعِ كَالْجَهْمِيَ وَالْمُعْتَزِلَةِ الَّذِينَ يَنْفُونَ الرُّؤْيَا. And there are no people who rejected, who denied the ru'ya, the seeing of Allah in Yawm al-Qiyamah, except the people of innovation, like the Jahmiya and the Mu'tazila. Nobody else rejected it, except the people of deviation, those who denied, who rejected the ru'ya, and he rejected the reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be seen by the believers in Yawm al-Qiyamah. So the Shaykh mentions, what was the view of the Jahmiya and Mu'tazila, and then he mentions the view of the Asha'ira, and then he mentions the view of Ahl Sunnah. Alright, just to kind of put things in perspective. He first mentions here the view of Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazila, and secondly he's going to mention the view of Asha'ira, and then he mentions the view of Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah. So he said, they rejected, they negated the ru'ya, the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the believers on Yawm al-Qiyamah. يَقُولُونَ يَلْزَمْ مِنْ إِثْبَاتَ الرُّؤْيَا أَنْ يَكُونُ اللَّهُ فِي جِهَا. And this is the basis of their argument. They're arguing that if a person affirms the ru'ya, that Allah will be seen, then it requires them, by necessity, to affirm that Allah is in a particular direction. If they affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be seen, then they have to necessarily also affirm that He is in a direction. Because if He's seen, the people have to look in front of them, or behind them, or above them. They have to look in some direction. Wallahu indahum laysa fi jiha. According to them, Allah is not in any direction. So since Allah is not in any direction, then they can't affirm that He can be seen. Because if they affirm that, that means they affirm that He's in a direction. And they have already taken a position that Allah is not in any direction. Where did they get that from? Allahu alam. But in any case, that's their aqidah. Allah is not in any direction. If we affirm that He'll be seen, then we'll be going against our foundation. That Allah is not in any direction. وَهُوَ عَنْدَهُمْ لَا دَاخِلَ الْعَالَمُ وَلَا خَارِجَهُ. According to them, He is not inside the world, nor is He outside of the world. Just think of what they're saying. He's not inside the world, nor is He outside of the world. وَلَا فَوْقُ وَلَا تَحْتُ. He's not underneath, nor is He above. He's not in the right, He's not in the left. لَيْسَ فِي جِهَا. He's not in any direction. So the Shaykh Salih Fawzan says, فَهَذَا مَعْنَاهُ أَنَّهُ مَعْدُومٌ. And according to what they're saying here, then they're saying Allah doesn't exist. He's not in the creation, and He's not out of the creation, then He doesn't exist. Then He doesn't exist, according to their belief. And Allah is high, far removed from what they are saying. وَنَفَوْا الرَّؤْيَا مِنْ أَجْلِ هَذَا الرَّؤْيَا الْبَاطِلِ. And they rejected, they negated Allah being seen based on this false view that Allah is not in a direction and therefore we can't affirm Him being seen. أما الأشاعرة or the أشعرية. أما الأشاعرة, he said, as far as the أشاعرة, لما لم يمكنهم إنكار الأدلة من الكتاب والسنة أثبتوا الرؤية وقالوا يرى ولكن ليس في جهة. So the Ash'ari, they said, and since they were unable, it wasn't possible for them to reject the strong, clear evidences that we just mentioned from the Quran and Sunnah, they were unable to reject that. Therefore, they affirmed the ru'ya. They said, okay, yes, Allah will be seen. Allah will be seen, ولكن ليس في جهة, but not in any particular direction. Because again, their foundation as well is, Allah is not in any direction. So when they couldn't reject the proofs and evidences that Allah will be seen, they said, okay, Allah will be seen, but not in any particular direction. Shaykh says, this is min at-tanaqud al-ajib. This is amazing contradiction. Because there isn't anything that can be seen that is not seen in some direction. He said, for this reason, even the Mu'tazila refuted the Ash'ariyah on this point. They said, this is nonsense. He's seen, but not in any direction. They refuted them. Now the Shaykh mentions the position of Ahl Sunnah, which we've already mentioned, but he mentions here a point that, hopefully we can understand. Ahl Sunnah yaquluna yura subhanahu wa ta'ala wa huwa fi jiha al-ulu min fawqihim. That's clear. The position of Ahl Sunnah is that Allah will be seen. And the direction that He will be seen in is above. Yani al-ulu, highness, min fawqihim. He will be high and He will be above the people. He will be high above the people. فَالْجِهَا إِنْ أُرِيدُ بِهَا. Now here the Shaykh goes into a discussion about the fact that the concept of jiha, a direction, above or below or front or back, the concept of jiha itself is not affirmed or negated in the Qur'an. But what is affirmed in the Qur'an is that Allah is high, above. That's it. But as far as directions, yani in reference to Allah, yani it's not something that the Qur'an addresses at all. So the Shaykh says, if what is intended by al-jiha is al-jiha al-makhluqa, yani the directions of created beings, that everything in the creation has a direction. It's above or below, in front, behind, somewhere. Everything in the creation, yani, has a direction. If that's what's intended, then Allah has no jiha. Then Allah doesn't have any direction. Allah is not subject to the directions of the things in the creation. لِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِحَالًا فِي خَلْقِهِ. Because there's no situation or circumstance in which Allah is inside of the creation. So He's not subject to that. To the, yani, directions that restrict the creation. Allah is not inside of the creation in any way, form, or fashion. وَإِنْ أُرِيدُ بِهَا الْعُلُوُ. But what is intended by jiha, in direction, if what is intended by direction is al-ulu, and if what they mean by does Allah have a jiha mean it, can he be high, then the Shaykh said, yani high, فوق المخلوقات, high above the created beings, فَهَذَا ثَابِتٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Then this is confirmed for Allah, that He's high, and He's above the creation. Indeed, Allah is high above the heavens. So, the word jihad, direction, has not been mentioned. It's confirmation or it's negation in the book of Allah. Walakin, what we say about it is what we just mentioned in detail. Yani if what is intended is the restrictions of the creation, yani the restrictions of whatever is inside of the creation, if that's what's intended, it's not applicable to Allah. But if what is intended is Him being high, yes, that is confirmed in the Quran that Allah is high and above the creation. Then the Shaykh says, yani in this statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, he said that the ru'ya is true, it's haq, and it's for the people of paradise, but it's without ihata, and it's without kayfiyya. So here the Shaykh explains what is meant by al-ihata, and then he goes on later to explain what is meant by al-kayfiyya. So, bighayri ihata, yani the meaning is Allah will be seen, but without that seeing Him encompassing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani it will not be a seeing that is encompassing. One of the scholars of tafsir, one of the students of Sheikh al-Albani, who has a tafsir that was published in recent times, even though the Sheikh died some time ago, Sheikh Muhammad Nasib al-Rafai, he did many years ago, long time ago, a summary of the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, one of the first yani that we saw. So the Sheikh, he has a new tafsir that, not new, but he did it when he was living and they published it recently. In that tafsir, he mentions that this ayat that the Shaykh is going to refer to now, he mentions that the meaning of it, that the meaning of ihata is that they would not encompass Allah, meaning bi dhatihi ta'ala wa sifatihi. Yani that they would not be able to encompass Allah's divine being in its entirety, or His qualities or characteristics, and they will only know what He has taught them. In any case, the Shaykh says, بِغَيْرِ إِحَاطَ وَلَا كَيْفِيَةٍ means أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُحِيطُونَ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَرَوْنَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ بِغَيْرِ إِحَاطَةٍ وَاللَّهِ عَظِيمٍ لَا يُمْكِنَ الْإِحَاطَ بِهِ. Yani, the meaning is that the believers, they will not encompass Allah Azza wa Jalla. They will see Him, but without a complete, yani, encompassing of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Because Allah is azim. Allah is magnificent. He is vast. He is great. And it's not possible to encompass Him in His entirety. Yani His divine being and His qualities and characteristics. It's not possible. Then Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan mentions the ayah from the Quran. From Surah Al-Taha, 20th Surah, 110th ayah. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be encompassed by any knowledge. Yani the knowledge of the people cannot encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's knowledge encompasses everything. Yani before that statement, Allah says, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Allah knows what is before them and what is behind them. He knows everything. But as far as the people's knowledge, it cannot encompass Allah. Allah's knowledge encompasses everything, but لَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. The people, the created beings' knowledge cannot encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cannot have a full and complete attainment, yani, of Allah's divine being and His sifat. لَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. وَقَالَ, and the Shaykh also mentions the second ayat from Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 103rd ayat, لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ. Yani that al-abṣār, the sight of created beings will not encompass him. The Shaykh says the meaning of لا تدركه الأبصار لا تحيط به. Yani that the sight of the created beings will not encompass him. Yani الإدراك, here it means الإحاطة. الإدراك means الإحاطة. And here I'm going to read from the Shaykh's tafsir just briefly, because he gave a beautiful point here. He said, yani the Sheikh Nasib, he said, لا تدركه الأبصار, yani that يعني الإدراك here, he said it means الإحاطة. لا تدركه لا تحيطه. That's the meaning of it. والمنفي هو هذا الإدراك. يعني what is negated in this ayat is the إدراك, the complete, total encompassing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no negation here of الرؤية. يعني this ayat is not a negation of الرؤية, but it's a negation of what? The complete, total encompassing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والمقصود, what is intended in this ayat, the Shaykh says, is رؤية الله في الآخرة التي ستكون بلا إحاطة. What is intended here? That يعني the sight will not encompass him, meaning the sight, the vision or the seeing of Allah in the next life will occur, but without encompassing him. Without encompassing him. As far as in this world, then it's well known that it's not possible to see Allah in this world. He said, and this is indicated in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Musa alayhi salam, لَن تَرَانِي. يعني you will not see me in this world. After this, the Shaykh, he mentions, يعني after mentioning this ayah, لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارِ, يعني that vision or the seeing of the eyes will not encompass him. He said it means, يعني here, encompassing, لَا تُحِيطُ بِهِ. He said the meaning here is not لَا تَرَاهُ. يعني the meaning of this ayah is that is not that Allah cannot be seen. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say لَا تَرَاهُ الْأَبْصَارِ. He didn't say that the sight, yani the eyes, will not be able to see him. Rather, he said they will not be able to encompass him. فالإدراك شيء والرؤية شيء آخر. Encompassing Allah is one thing and seeing Allah is another. Allah negated encompassing him. He did not negate seeing him. فهو ترى. فهي تراه سبحانه وتعالى بدون إحاطة. So the eyesight will see him, but without encompassing him. And in this, he says, is a refutation against the use of this ayat by those who negate the ru'ya. Yani this is one of the ayats of the people of deviation that they use to negate ar-ru'ya. They said ar-ru'ya la tumkin. Yani that seeing Allah is not possible. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the people of deviation, they said it's not possible to see him because Allah said la tudrikul absar. That sight will not be able to encompass him. So we say to them, you people don't understand what is the meaning of لا تدرك الأبصار. Its meaning, the Shaykh says, معناها لا تحيط به. Yani that he will not be encompassed in his entirety, his that and his sifat. Except to the extent that Allah gives that knowledge to whoever he gives it to. So the Shaykh is saying here again, يعني that the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat is negating something, and it doesn't mean that the negation of al-ihata, encompassing Allah, is a negation of Allah being seen at all. So the ihata, encompassing Allah, is one thing, and the ru'ya, seeing Allah without encompassing him, is another thing altogether, not negated by this ayat. Then the Shaykh says also, second ayat from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 143rd ayat. وَاسْتَدَلُّوا عَيْدًا فَقَالُوا مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ قَالَ رَبِّي أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ قَالَ لَنْ تَرَانِي. The second ayat that they use, that they argue with, is the saying, يعني موسى عليه السلام said, Oh my Rabb, let me look at you. أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. Let me see you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you will not see me. They said, this is a proof of the negation of Allah being seen. But we say to them, هذا في الدنيا لأن موسى سأل ذلك في الدنيا ولا أحد يرى الله في الدنيا لا الأنبياء ولا غيرهم وأما في الآخرة فيرى المؤمنون ربهم. So the Shaykh said, the refutation of this false argument is that Allah saying you will not see me is in this world. Because Musa alayhi salam asked this while he was in the world. And there's no one that will see Allah in the dunya, not the prophets or anyone else. But as for in the next life, so the believers will see their Rabb, as yani the evidences that have been presented previously from the Quran and from the Sunnah indicate. Then the Shaykh says, وَحَالُ الدُّنْيَا لَيْسَتْ كَحَالُ الْآخِرَةِ Yani the condition in this world is not like the condition in the next life. The condition of the people, the created beings in this world is not like what it will be like in the next life. فَالنَّاسْ فِي الدُّنْيَا ضِعَافْ فِي أَجْسَامِهِمْ وَمَدَارِكِهِمْ لَا تَسْتَطِيعُ أَن تَرَى اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَأَمَّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْتِيهِمْ قُوَّةً يَسْتَطِيعُونَ بِهَا أَن يَرَوْا رَبَّهُمْ جَلَّ وَعَلَى إِكْرَامًا لَهُمْ Yani the condition of the people in this world is not the same as their condition will be in the next life. For the people in this world are weak in their bodies and in their mental faculties and yani ability to perceive things, their senses of seeing and hearing and touching and so on. The people in this world, the human beings, their bodies are weak and their mental faculties and their senses are weak. And they are not able to see Allah Azza wa Jalla. As far as in the next life, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the people a ability, yani a quwwah, strength. With it, they will be able to see their Rabb Azza wa Jalla, and this will be a means of honoring, yani the believers in the next life, honoring them. وَلِهَذَا لَمَّا سَأَلَ مُوسَى رَبَّهُ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ So when Musa, yani asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as indicated in this ayah, and Allah said to him, قَالَ لَنْ تَرَانِي وَلَكِنْ أُنظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ فَإِنْ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي Yani, the rest of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will not see me, but look at the mountain. And if it remains firm in its place, then you will see me. Allah is telling Musa, look at the mountain. He's going to show himself to the mountain and look what happens to the mountain. And if the mountain remains firm, then you will see me. But if the mountain, solid stone rock mountain, cannot bear to see Allah, then what will happen to a mere physical weak human being? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa, look to the mountain. If it remains firm, and Allah is able to make it remain firm if He willed. But He showed the reality of the mountain, that if He appeared before the mountain, it couldn't take it. It couldn't stand up. So he said, if it remained firm, then you will see me. Yani in this world. But that's not going to happen. Because no one will see Allah in this world. So when Allah appeared before the mountain, it was leveled to the ground. The Shaykh says, the mountain crumbled and became dust on the surface of the earth. And this mountain is solid rock. So what about the created human being that's made up of flesh and blood and bones? He is not able to see Allah in this world. The Shaykh makes another point concerning this ayah. He said the request of Musa to see Allah is an indication of the permissibility of al-ru'ya, that it's possible. It's something that Allah can be seen. Not in this world, but Allah can be seen. The fact that Musa asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow him to see him is an indication that Allah can be seen. Allah can be seen, but not in this world. Because Musa, yani one of the greatest of the prophets and messengers of Allah and most knowledgeable of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wouldn't have asked his Rabb for something that's not possible, not permissible, that Allah can't be seen. Rather, he asked him something that is possible. But not in this world. Yani, but not in the dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you will not see me. He didn't say, I can't be seen. He said, you will not see me. Yani, in this world. But He didn't say, I can't be seen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't rebuke or scold Musa for asking. He didn't rebuke him for asking, showing that the question is a legitimate question. It's just the wrong place. It's not going to happen in this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be seen in the next life, and the people who have most right to see Him, then He will be the prophets, alayhim as-salam. Finally, the Shaykh mentions the last part of this first statement, the first part of the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, yani, bila ihata, he said, wala kayfiyya. He said the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, wala kayfiyya. Ay, la yuqal kayfa yarawna Allah. Yani, it should not be said, how will they see Allah? How will they see Allah? This should not be said. This is the meaning of la kayfiyya. It shouldn't be, the question shouldn't be asked, how is it? As Imam Malik, the person who asked him, how is al-istiwa? And either how is something, that's the question that we shouldn't be asking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, لِأَنَّ هَذَا كَسَائِرِ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. This is like the rest of the sifat of Allah عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. لَا نَعْرِفُ كَيْفِيَّتَهَا. We don't know how it is. We don't know how it is. But he said, number one, فَنَحْنُ نُؤْمِن بِهَا. We believe in it. And we believe that Allah will be seen. وَنَعْرِفُ مَعَنَاهَا. And we know the meaning of رؤية, seeing Allah. We know what its meaning is. وَنُثْبِتُهَا, and we affirm and confirm that it will occur. وَلَكِنْ الْكَيْفِيَ مَجْهُولَةٌ وَلَا نَعْرِفُهَا, except that how it will be is unknown to us. We don't know how it will be. فَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِهَا سُبْحَانَهُ. So Allah is the one who knows best about that. The kayfiyya, yani, is not known to us. Like the rest of the sifat of Allah, we believe in it, we know its meaning, and we affirm it. But we just don't know how it is. Tayyib, mashallah, we still have some time. So I'm going to just take two short points that the Shaykh mentions after this. This is the second and third point from this statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. This long statement that Shaykh Salih Fawzan has divided into eight parts. So the second part of that statement is numbered in Arabic as 59 and English as 58. And the third part of that statement is numbered as 60 in Arabic and 59 in English. The second and third part of this statement. Al-Imam At-Tahawi rahimahullah says that the ru'ya is haqq for the people of Jannah, but without ihata and without kayfiyya. He followed that by saying, kama nataqa bihi kitabu rabbina, just as the book of our Rabb has pronounced it, just as the book of Arab has stated it, that he will be seen, that Allah will be seen, though without ihata, without encompassing, and without kayfiyya, without knowing how it will be. And then he mentions the proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, wujuhun yawma idhin nadhira, that faces, the faces of the believers on that day will be bright and radiant. Yani from the joy and happiness of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ila rabbiha nadhira. And they will be looking, yani, to their Rabb. Their faces, yani, the faces of the believers will be looking to their Rabb. Yani, they will see him with their eyesight. Al-mu'ayana, yani, bil-absar. That they will see him with their eyesight. Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, وَتَفْسِيرُهُ عَلَى مَا أَرَادُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَعَلِمَهُ. And the explanation of this ayat is as Allah intended it to be. مَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ. It's as Allah intended it to be, and as Allah knows it to be. These two points, yani I'm just going to combine them for the sake of time, that the seeing of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah for the believers is a fact, without ihata and without kayfiyya, just as the book of our Rabb has mentioned it. Faces on that day will be bright and beaming, looking to their Rabb, the Shaykh says, and the explanation of it is as Allah willed it to be and as Allah knew it to be. Shaykh Salih Fawzan says, هَذَا صَرِيحٌ أَنَّهُ نَظَرَ إِلَى أَنَّهُ نَظَرَ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِالْأَبْصَارِ. Yani, that this is clear, this ayat is clear in the, yani, in indicating that the looking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking at Allah, will be with the eyesight. حَيْثُ عُدِّي بِ, the preposition, إِلَى. Yani, because, as he mentioned earlier, yani, the nazar in the Quran has three meanings, and one of them is when it's with the preposition ila, as it is in this ayat, he said, so it's crystal clear. Since the nazar here, yani, it's transitive, yani, its meaning is conveyed, yani, by the preposition ila, so its meaning is ar-ru'ya bil-absar. It is seeing Allah with the eyesight. And then he says, the Mu'tazila said, ila rabbiha. The ila is the jam, is a plural. Ila, ila rabbiha, and it's a preposition. They said that it's a plural that has the meaning of ni'am, blessings or bounties or favors. He said that it is a plural, meaning blessings or bounties or favors. A, ila ni'am rabbiha nadira. Yani that they are looking to the blessings or the bounties of their Rabb. وهذا تخريف يضحك منه العقلاء لأن الحرف لا يحول إلى جم. He said that this is تخريف يعني delusion. يعني it is the delusion of a feeble-minded person, a person who doesn't have an intellect. And it is laughed at by the people who have an intellect. Because the preposition cannot be changed to a plural. Any prepositions don't have plurals. We can even laugh now because it's funny. And if a person knows anything about basic Arabic, prepositions don't have plurals. It's just absolute nonsense. But yani when people deviate, then they have to figure out some way to explain what they say, so they come up with anything. The Sheikh also says the tafsir is in according to what Allah intended and what Allah knows. He said, A, the tafsir of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَى رَبِّهَا النَّاظِرَةِ, and to their Rabb they will be looking, surah al-qiyamah, I think it's 75th surah, 23rd ayat, A, عَلَى مَا أَرَادَهُ اللَّهِ, عَلَى مَا أَرَادَهُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, هُوَ الْمُعَايَنَةُ بِالْأَبْصَارِ, لَا عَلَى مَا أَرَادَهُ الْمُبْتَدِيَةِ. Yani that the meaning here is what Allah intended by it, and that is to see with one's eyesight, not what was intended by the people of deviation. Alhamdulillah, that's what we wanted to cover for today. And since we still have 3 minutes before the Adhan and 10 minutes after the Adhan, I'm going to just quickly look at what Shaykh al-Albani said concerning this particular issue. He says, and quickly, yani, there's no doubt that the believers will see their Rabb on Yawm al-Qiyamah from above them, just as it has been confirmed from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they will see their Rabb with their eyesight, a seeing, ru'ya haqiqiyya, a real seeing. Just as they see the moon and the sun with clarity when there are no clouds. And this has been narrated by mutawatir narrations. Yani, in every level of the chain of narration, there are numerous narrators from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And nobody denied this except the Mu'tazila and those who followed their misguidance. Ibn Qayyim mentions it in his poem, An-Nuniyya, and I won't read the poem for the sake of time, but in any case, the meaning of it is what we just said. Yani, he says that they will see him subhanahu wa ta'ala from above them. They will look and see with their eyes, just as they see the two moons, meaning the sun and the moon. And this has been narrated by mutawatir narrations from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and nobody denied it except the people who have corrupt iman. Shaykh al-Albani says, "Amma fi dunya, as far as in this world, فَإِنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ تَعَالَى لَا تَرَاهُ أَحَدْ مِنْ إِبَادِهِ. In this world, no one from amongst the people, no one from amongst the worship of Allah will see him in this world." And then the Shaykh mentions two narrations concerning seeing Allah in this world. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked, "Hal ra'aita rabbak?" Because this is a disputed issue, even amongst Ahl Sunnah. "Have you seen your Rabb?" The Prophet said, "Nurun anna arahu." "Have you seen your Rabb?" The Prophet said, "Nurun, light. Anna arahu. How can I see him? Anna arahu, kayfa arahu. How can I see him?" What he can see is only the hijab of Allah, that is the light. So what does this mean? If he was asked directly, "Have you seen your Rabb?" And he said, "Nuran, anna arahu. How can I have seen him?" That means that he's negating it. This hadith is reported in Sahih Muslim. The meaning that he was screened or separated from seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the light. And Aisha radiallahu anha, it's also confirmed that she said in a narration that's reported by Bukhari Muslim, "Man haddathaka anna Muhammadan ra'a rabbahu faqad kadhaba." Whoever reports to you that Muhammad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has seen his Rabb, faqad kadhaba. Yani he is wrong, he is mistaken. Yani literally meaning he has lied, but what is intended here is that he is erred, he is mistaken. Then the Shaykh, in another place, he also talks about this subject, and similar, but he mentions a couple of other points that are of benefit. He said, know that the ahadith that have been narrated concerning the affirmation or the confirmation of the believers seeing their Rabb on Yawm al-Qiyamah are many. Yani those narrations are many, so many that they have reached the level of tawatur. Just as this has been confirmed with definitiveness by a group, a number of different a'immah, yani imams of the people of sunnah. And from amongst them is the explainer of the Tahawiyyah, yani the Aqidah Tahawiyyah, al-Imam Ibn Abd al-Izz. He has mentioned a number of those hadith, and at the end of it he said, وَقَدْ رَوَى أَحَدِيثَ الرُّؤْيَا نَحْوَ ثَلَاثِينَ صَحَابِيًا. Yani Ibn Abd al-Izz, Imam Ibn Abd al-Izz, after mentioning several hadith concerning this, he said that the hadith related to seeing Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah by the believers has been narrated by nearly 30 different companions. 30 different companions narrated hadith of this in the first level of the companions. Nearly 30 companions. And whoever is aware of those narrations, then they will know with certainty that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. If it was not that I had limited myself to being brief in my explanation here, I would have narrated all of those hadith. And then he says, and this is an important point that is why I wanted to mention this, Ibn Abd al-Izz, he says, لَيْسَ تَشْبِيهُ رُؤْيَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِرُؤْيَةِ الشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ تَشْبِيهًا لِلَّهِ. Yani the tashbih, the similarity or the resemblance that's being shown here of seeing Allah and seeing the sun and the moon is not a resemblance of Allah to the sun and the moon. بَلْ هُوَ تَشْبِيهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالرُّؤْيَا. But it is a resemblance between the seeing, the human beings seeing Allah, and the seeing of the human being seeing the sun and the moon. This is not a comparison between the thing that is seen, something that is seen being compared to something else that is seen. And it's not a comparison of Allah who will be seen with the sun and the moon that is seen. But it's a comparison between the sight of the created being, yani the sight of the sun and the moon and the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said also, in this hadith, and this comparison of the sight of the human being of seeing Allah and seeing the sun and the moon, is a dalil ala uluwi Allah ala khalqi, is a proof of Allah's highness above His creation. Because just as they have to look up high to see the sun and the moon, they will have to look up high to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, it's not conceivable that anything can be seen without looking in some direction, yani looking towards it, looking at it. Whoever says that Allah will be seen but not in any direction, that's the Ash'ariya or Ash'a'ira, then that person has to go back and check their mind. For either that person is just being arrogant and stubborn and obstinate, or either there's really something wrong with their mind. Person is not yani sane. Otherwise, if it is said that Allah will be seen, but not in front of the one who is looking, and He's not behind the one who is looking, and He's not to their right or to their left, He's not above them or below them, this statement will be rejected by any person who hears it, just by their sound nature, without knowledge or science or anything, they would reject it. Then the Shaykh says, and this is the final paragraph, he says, as far as seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself has informed us in authentic hadith that no one of us will see Allah until we die. Yani in the next life. Hadith reported by Imam Muslim. And as far as the Prophet himself, and he said no one of us, but he said as far as himself, because it is an issue of some ikhtilaf, did the Prophet see Allah in this world? He says, as far as the Prophet ﷺ himself, yani there has no narration has come to us that's confirmed, that can be used as a hujjah, as a proof that the Prophet ﷺ saw Allah. There's no narration that has the weight of being a proof that has come to us that confirms the Prophet ﷺ seeing Allah. Rather, what has been authentically narrated to us is an indication of the negation of it, the negation of the Prophet seeing Allah when he was asked, did you see your Rabb? And he said, this is only light. How can I see him? And likewise, Sayyidana Aisha radiallahu anha has said conclusively, yani she has negated conclusively in the hadith that's narrated in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, yani that whoever claims that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Allah, then they are mistaken. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that we do it in accordance with the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah, out of His generosity, that He recognize, record and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and our errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, steadfastness and firmness upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for good health for those amongst us who are sick, and for His rahmah to descend upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light and make them spacious, and admit them into His paradise, and save them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. And we ask Allah's relief for the Muslims, men, women and children, who are persecuted and murdered and slaughtered in Palestine and in Yemen and Sudan and in Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan and China and Burma and India and in every place in the earth, wherever it may be, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant relief to the Muslims, wherever they may be. And alone, Allah alone is the one from whom help is sought.